This is State of Sports, Utah, with your hosts, Jake Luechler and Jason Stowell. Hey everybody, welcome on in to the State of Sports Utah podcast. We are your hosts, Jason Stowell and
Jake my Luechler. Partner.
You cut me off, man. Come on.
Oh, shut up.
Come on. What's up, man? I am ready to talk some football with you.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Another week. Dude, can you believe we're on to, like, this is the mid-season episode, basically.
We are in the mid-season officially. Yep, we are a month in. The next couple of games are October games, and it's hard to believe that we're already this far in.
So crazy, dude. Yeah. I'm not ready for it to be halfway over.
Well, hey, just now that we're officially mid-season, we're now going to include each of our prospective teams' ranking. Obviously, if at some point in the season they become unranked, we just casually won't mention it. But right now, both are ranked, as a matter of fact. Your BYU Cougars are ranked number 19, and Utah Utes are ranked number 12. And it's at this point where, you know, I feel like, I mean, personally, I kind of subscribe to the method that they shouldn't even mention them until about this week.
Well, and honestly, like, it's cool. Like, I feel like there's some residual from previous seasons with the BCS where it's like, yeah, the AP poll, like, yeah. We're all super stoked for it. It doesn't matter.
No, you know,
ultimately, whatever the AP people think literally has no bearing on college football. It just doesn't.
Not anymore.
And so ultimately, the only thing that matters is what the CFP committee thinks.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
we'll find that out in a couple weeks.
That's the ranking we talk about, though.
Yeah. No, it is.
Until it comes out, and then we ignore it completely.
It's kind of wild how poor some of the AP voters are. Like, both, and it's all over the place. Like, both with Utah and with BYU. Like, I feel like if you look at the breakdown of each voter's, you know, choices, some voters are just dumb. It's like they do not watch college football.
Well, I also think, you know, and I definitely know this for a fact, a lot of the East Coast AP voters, they don't watch the West Coast games.
Oh, no, 100%.
There was a voter, stay up late.
There was a voter the week after BYU beat Baylor that didn't move BYU and didn't move Baylor at all. So they were the same rankings that they had been the week before. He did not watch the game. He's one of the worst.
Most of them just look at the score the morning after. And like, oh, okay, all right. You know, that's it.
Yep. But it was like, he didn't even do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm talking the fair minimum. And that guy's a loser if he didn't do it.
So I'm excited for the CFP rankings. You know, it'll be good to see kind of what the committee thinks of both Utah and BYU's resumes and those quality losses that they like to talk about, right?
Yeah. Speaking of losses, Jason, why don't you lead us in talking about the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, so obviously BYU traveled to Eugene, took on Oregon. I was feeling optimistic, obviously, about the game. You know, looking back on my predictions, and I thought, you know, if BYU could, I thought BYU would show up, you know, at least make it competitive. But this game, to me, felt like Baylor last year, where it was just like, you know, there are so many factors that go into winning or losing a football game, and a bunch, you know, went negatively for BYU, but ultimately it just, like, the Power 5 talent level, like, we talk about talent gaps, whatever, like, it's very real, and it was obvious on you know, two Saturdays ago that was the case. Oregon's edge speed was really good, and I think that was one of the bigger factors in contributing to that loss. So BYU picks up the L, 41-20. And then I had a nice bounce back against Wyoming this past Saturday. I picked it up 38-24. That was probably one of the most horribly officiated games I have seen, maybe ever. Like, legitimately, those officials were so, so bad. And so you had contributed, like, honestly, probably was more like 17-38. Wyoming got a touchdown, literally like 75 yards of horrible, horrible penalties and officiating that gave them a touchdown. But yeah. But it was good. You know, it was nice to see what you weren't able to do against Oregon and Baylor in the run game. You got established through Miles Davis against Wyoming. And Wyoming actually coming into that game had one of the better rush defenses in college football. They held Air Force to just over 100 yards, and Air Force was like the number one running team coming into that game versus Wyoming. So
yeah.
a super positive point for BYU to actually see some movement in the running game. So I'm hopeful that just watching Miles Davis, you can tell that he has like a really good vision coupled with good speed, you know, hitting a lot of the problems I think Chris Brooks was having in the run game was hitting the holes that his offensive linemen were creating in a timely manner, you know, using that speed to, you know, hit those gaps. And honestly, Miles Davis looked great on Saturday. So I think there are some positives to carry from Wyoming. I still think, you know, a 10-11 win season is possible.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a real consorted effort from every position group.
Of course.
You know, there are still issues on the defense, just having slow starts. You know, even against Wyoming, I think it was 14-10 at halftime, and the defense just really, really had a slow start. But yeah, I think overall, even with the loss to Oregon, I'm still feeling pretty optimistic about the season.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, okay, so Utah had, honestly, some very fun games for me. I enjoyed these last 2 weeks immensely. So we had a nice little revenge game at home. With the San Diego State Aztecs, we had a near shutout. The only thing that kind of kept them from actually the only reason they did score is, you know, one of our backup punt returners, you know, muffed the punt and turned it over at like the 20-yard line.
So, dude, I tuned into that game for like maybe 30 minutes. It was so boring to watch San Diego State. They could not do anything.
Oh no, they really could not. And so honestly, it was really fun. It was great to see. Honestly, the past couple weeks, it's been really great to see, you know, kind of the twos and the threes really get some good reps. Gives me some great confidence for these guys.
Future building.
Yeah, future building. You know, that way when they step on the scene next year, the year after, they at least have some reps and some live against some decent opponents, right? And same with Arizona State. I mean, honestly, so
they're such a dead program, man.
Yeah, no, that was...
They're down bad.
Poor Emory Jones is going to be seeing our defensive line in his nightmares for years to come. I mean, the guy was sacked four times, and, that was so much fun. But, I mean, but when it comes to the Arizona State game, one thing I will say that I'm feeling good about it, whereas I know there's kind of a negative vibe around that game, and it mostly has to do with our next section, which is the marquee player that was injured during that game, right? But staying on the game before we, you know, transition to that, honestly, the game was really great. You know, the offense was, you know, had a very quick start, which, you know, was a bit concerning because, you know, to game two and three had suffered from some slow starts, but not in this game. We cleaned it up. We came out swinging, and before you knew it, we were leading 14-0. And, you know, the brawl was spread around through various wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. I mean, heck, our QB3 has officially transitioned to a running back, which honestly, I'm super happy about that. I just see so much potential in our team. I'm still extremely optimistic about what this season holds. I really think we're, especially the defense is really, the team as a whole is turning into a force to be reckoned with.
Well, and I think too, like you, if you look at both BYU and Utah's schedules, like I feel like the rest of the season is pretty winnable. Like,
yeah.
USC looked, you know, failable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Arkansas, right, picked up the loss to Texas A&M. So
yeah,
it's there's still a lot to be positive, even with 100%. Both teams at, you know, in the one loss column.
Exactly. So let's transition over to our next topic, which is just something we're not going to spend too much time on because frankly it's depressing. But you know, now that we're midseason, we got to talk about the players that are injured and kind of what their status is. So Utah, thankfully, does not have very many injured players right now. A player that's been injured and out for a couple weeks right now is Mo Diabate. He's one of our linebackers, senior transfer from Florida. Played in the Florida game, got hurt in the SUU game. Supposedly, he's coming back, and we should expect to see him in the Oregon State game. Honestly, our defense and specifically our linebackers are playing so well. I'm not sure we 100% need him to come back. But, I mean, hey, he's got a lot of great experience, and he's a fantastic player. So all the better, as long as it doesn't kind of mess up the flow. The only two real other injuries really worth mentioning are both season-ending, and it's just heartbreaking for both of them. Running back Chris Curry, which I shouted out in our last podcast. Honestly, it breaks my heart that he, you know, broke his ankle in the San Diego State game. He was just getting started. He was really, I think, just gearing up for a real breakout season, and then he goes and gets hurt like that. I am excited to see him next year. He'll add some great seniority to the room, and you know, he's a great talent. I'm hoping he can bounce right back and pick up right where he leaves off next year. Finally, the injury that kind of soured a lot of Utes fans' taste for the Arizona State game, that just being Brenton Keithy. You know, probably, in my opinion, the best tight end in all of college football right now. And it's sad to see. You know, his season-ending ACL. He has a medical red shirt available to him still, so maybe he comes back, maybe not. He's
probably depends on how recovery goes, honestly. Yeah. If he's feeling, you know, good enough to get into the draft and go through that process.
Yeah, exactly. And officially, I listened to him talk with Bill Riley on the radio today, and he says officially he's not even thinking about it yet. He just wants to focus on his recovery, which, I mean, you know, that's expected. But, you know, honestly, good for him for just kind of taking the first step forward. And there's a couple minor injuries here and there, especially with kind of within the twos and the threes. But as far as impact, I kept my list to impact players and, you know, impact injuries. So, and that's thankfully that's it so far for Utah.
Nice. Well, the opposite kind of case is true for BYU, and again, like we've just seen with Independence, the injuries and the depth at BYU is just not sustainable, you know? Like going into Oregon, they had like two of their starting linebackers that went out, and they just popped in another five-star, you know, yep. two more five-stars, and they carried on, right? And that's just, it's just not sustainable yeah. with BYU, especially on defense because of how BYU recruits, which I will not go into because it really bothers me, but These were the number of dudes that were injured or completely out against Wyoming, and this is, you could basically have a full starting team with these guys. So Puka Nacua, Chase Roberts, Gunnar Romney, Malik Moore, Max Thule, Caleb Hayes, Gabe Summers, E2E02 Mariner, Josh Larson, Kingsley Suamataia, Peyton Wilgar. Like, that is, like, every single one of those guys except for one is a starter on this team. That's absurd. It's absurd. The number of injuries already, you know, week four into the season has already started to mount up. So
it sounds fortunately, like most of your receiving core is injured in there, too.
That's tough. A big portion, you know, those are arguably your top three receivers are all out. So Puka did come back. He played. It was so nice to see him back. Like, you could just tell his speed BYU has missed. And then I think it's his hamstring. Looking at video and just seeing some other comments, it looks like it might be a hamstring, which just really stinks.
Yeah.
You know, we could end up not even seeing him the rest of the season. You know, it's just too many things to deal with. I had a super severe ankle sprain playing basketball 2 weeks ago. Like the day after we recorded actually last week's episode, and it's the same ankle injury that Puka is dealing with. And so I can't even imagine having to like already play on that, like how I am now, and then having another, you know, injury pop up. It just sucks. Injuries are the worst. It's
the
so
worst
sad
part about the sport. Honestly, Seriously. It's the worst part about the sport.
So Puka, you know, he's going to be out for a minute. Who knows when we see him back. But the good news is, some good news on the injury front, it looks like Gunnar Romney is going to play against Utah State. So you lose one of your receivers.
But you get one back.
You get one back. And hopefully Gunnar is feeling healthy. He had a lacerated kidney. But he was saying on 97.5 today that he is playing against Utah State. So
good.
Hopefully we see him back and he's able to stay healthy.
At least Jaren will have someone to throw to.
Right, and I think it's actually funny that, like, you mentioned that, because this is probably, arguably, the deepest receiver room that BYU has had in several years. So even with these guys going down, you are seeing guys like Cosper and Hill step up to the plate, and Hill had a phenomenal game, you know, huge game against Wyoming. It was a really breakout game for him. So, yeah, it'll be good to have Gunner and some positive in the injury front moving forward. All those guys I mentioned are not like necessarily out permanently, right? Okay. Like a good portion of those guys we should see back, but those were all guys who got dinged up or were out against Wyoming, which is nuts. It's a crazy list.
Yeah.
So I brought this up last week. I think it'd be fun to just really quickly look at our accuracy for our predictions from the season so far.
Now, Jason, I do just want to bring up something. If we're just going by win-loss prediction, you and I have the exact same score.
This is true. So maybe we give...
So how exactly do we want to stack this? What is it, just kind of the spirit of the prediction? Like, oh, I think it's going to be a blowout. And if it was a blowout, then you get it. Oh, I think it's going to be a close game within one score or so. Then you get it. Or what do we want to do?
That kind of sounds... So maybe 1 point for guessing the win or loss correctly.
Okay.
And then if you guess the win, right, or loss, whatever... Then if it's like if it's close-ish, if it's in the spirit of it, you get another point.
Okay.
I haven't even looked back on mine to even know how this could be really embarrassing for me.
All right, so I'm gonna read off what actually happened, and then I'll tell you what, I'll read off what then you and I both predicted.
Okay.
So okay, sounds good.
Yep.
So week one, BYU at Southern Florida. What actually happened was BYU won 50-21. I predicted BYU win 31-17. You predicted BYU win 28-13. So we were both very off. especially on when it comes to points scored by BYU. I got a little close on how much Southern Florida, but that's not super accurate either. So we both get the point for the win guess, but I'd say, okay, at least in the spirit of it, I don't think we get the week one. Okay. At least I don't think we get that point. Next up was Utah at Florida. We both predicted a win, and so let's just count that as a loss because Utah ended up losing that game very narrowly, right? So both, so no points on that.
Okay.
Let's see. Southern Utah at Utah. What actually happened was 73-7. You predicted 41-7. I predicted 35-10.
I think I get that one.
I mean, you were 30 points off.
Yeah, but it was 41-7. Right, that is predicting a blowout.
All right, tell you what.
With minimal points scored.
All right, I will give you that one. I'll give you that one. You're right. You did predict a blowout.
Okay, so we both get 1 point, and then I get one for being closest. Should just do closest. Closest score.
Okay. All right, all right.
Closest score.
As long as you get it right. Like, if you predict a win and it's a loss, then no point. For neither. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I'm willing to do that.
I don't know. So I think this next one we should do that.
For Southern Florida, because I got closest on that one.
Let's see. What was it again?
It was 50-21. I guessed 31-17, whereas you guessed 28-13. I got way closer.
To, like, BYU score?
Yeah.
I feel like our point differential is, like, the same, though.
No, not really. I was closer. You just said it's whoever comes closest. I was closer.
Hang on. Closest to the winning score?
Yeah.
Or closest, like, in general? Because our point differential is, like, exactly the same.
Yeah, but I was closest. Yeah, well, you said whoever's closest gets the point.
I did not define closest accurately. Right. We'll give you the point.
Yes.
That's fine. All right, I think 1 point differential closer than I
was. All right. Next up was Baylor at BYU on week two. What actually happened was BYU won 26-20 in double overtime. You guessed 35-28. I guessed 28-21. Now, that's 2 points for me. I got real close on that.
You did.
I was only 3 points total between the two teams off. I got close on that. So
you did. That was way close.
All right. Next up, we move on to week three. We both got that wrong because we both predicted BYU would win and they lost. All right. Moving on to San Diego State. 35-7. Was the actual score. You predicted 41-14. I predicted 45-20.
I think I get that one right.
Yes, you were closer. That's for sure. You were closer to the spirit of it. I'll give you that one.
What was the score?
It was 35-7. Honestly, I don't think either of us were all that close. But in the point differential, you were closer. You were much closer to the actual score.
All right, tied up. Oh, let's see. No, we need to 1 point for each of us, right?
Yeah, 1 point for getting it right. And then,
I'm one ahead.
Okay. And then let's see. Arizona State, what actually happened was 34-13. You guessed 38-17. I guessed 35-17.
Ooh.
So I got closer by 3 points.
You did. Okay, so point, point, point.
All right, so tied. with one game left.
Leading, actually.
So Wyoming at BYU, what actually happened was 38-24. You guessed 52-17. I guessed.
Did I actually guess that? That one I did see, and I was like, did I really guess that?
And I guessed 41-14, which is closer. However, I also put a trap game on this, and I think, given the first quarter, I was right. I didn't say they would lose. I just said this was a trap game, and I still thought they'd win. So I think I deserve an extra point for using my one trap. Yeah, I think I was close. Not only was I closer, I
You
also
won by two, actually. You won by 2 points. So we had a grand total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for me and 10 for you.
Yeah.
That Wyoming score killed me. I do not remember that score prediction at all. I'm gonna have to be more. This is good. This will keep us honest with our score predictions here. I'm gonna
Yeah.
actually leave this here, and we'll come back to it at the end of the season. We'll
Yeah.
check in on it like every once in a
Good.
while.
And we should.
Jason 8. Okay. I'm still within striking distance though.
Okay. So speaking of, so last week we got our first listener, or sorry, last episode, we got our first listener question. We have another, and I really like this one. So this is from James Fox slash Borrow, Foxborough. And he says, what's a narrative about your team that you think is inaccurate? I like that question a lot. For me, I think it's actually a narrative amongst Utah fans, and I've seen a lot of pessimism since Brent Keithy's been, was injured for the season, and there's been a lot of talk amongst Utah fans of how this Utah team can't achieve its goals without him. Now, don't get me wrong, Brent Keithy, amazing player, one of our marquee players on offense. But I don't know. I see this pessimism, and I just don't see it. I don't. I mean, yes. Again, I'm not. I'm really not trying to us underestimate Brent Keithy. I'm just really trying. I just don't get. He's one piece of a team, right? And from what I've seen with this team is when one player falls, another rises to the occasion. We had Chris Curry go out, and who rises up? Our backup QB decides, hey, I want to transfer a running back, and he did great. Brent Keithy goes out in the game, and then his backup Thomas Yasmin. We don't have a large sample size of him, yes, but we do. But from what we saw amazing. I mean, he had a 72-yard catch where he just shakes off two different defenders. It was awesome. So I don't know. I don't get me wrong. Brent Keithy going out is a huge setback, and I wish he was still there, still with the team, and still healthy. But that being said, I still think all of Utah's goals are completely within reach, even without Brent Keithy. So Jason, what's a narrative about your team that you think is inaccurate?
This has been heavily talked about, but the age difference for BYU being like the narrative that BYU just has a bunch of old guys, running around, these grown men, right, coming off their missions and having all these kids, and like that seriously bothers me so much, especially when you actually look at the legit like average age of universities. So I apologize because I could not find literally anywhere with a more recent statistic, but this is from 2019-2020. These are the average age of a few college programs, right? So Alabama, 23. Arizona State was the oldest average at the time at 24.8.
Oh, geez.
BYU, let's give a couple more here. Utah, 22.8, so a
Okay.
little more on the younger side a couple years ago. Utah State, 24.7. Hawaii actually was the youngest average age. They were 20 2 years
Oh,
ago.
okay.
BYU came in at 23.5.
Okay. All right.
Which, according to CBS, the CBS college football roster analysis, is dead middle of the pack for
Okay.
average college football age. And so that really bothers me. And like, like the whole missions are an advantage thing. If you've served a mission, it is the literal biggest disadvantage someone possibly could have from a athletics purely only standpoint, because you're going out and your time is not spent every day practicing and exercising and all this stuff, right? There's no weight training. There's no athletic staff to like make sure you're doing everything properly and you're getting all these nutritionists and all this stuff. No, it is not an advantage. And ultimately, BYU is just as average aged as everybody else.
All right. That's honestly not one I would have thought you were going to talk about.
Yeah, so that's my that's my annoying pet peeve about fans talking about my team as a narrative.
I mean, it makes sense. Makes sense.
So let's jump into our week 5 and 6 predictions here to close things out.
All right.
So I'm going to be a little negative Nancy this week for both teams.
Boo!
I think that both of these games could go either way, but I think they're going to be like a really tough midpoint test for both teams. So yeah. Utah State at BYU, I have as a win for BYU. Utah State's offense just is not good. If our defense makes them look good, so help me, I will throw burritos onto the field. Seriously, Utah State's
burritos. What does that have to do with anything?
It's an inside joke on Utah State.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so Utah State's offense is not good. This should be a game that we handily win. Keep the wagon wheel for the foreseeable future, because who knows, honestly, when we're playing these guys again. So, see you, Gaggies. Moving on. Oregon State at Utah. Oregon State really looked impressive for a good portion of the USC game. You know, they kept things very interesting. And it's probably somewhat difficult to gauge, right? Because who has any idea what USC actually looks like, actually is, you know, but yeah,
especially at this point.
This was a game that, if I'm not mistaken, you guys lost last year, right?
We did, yes.
So it could end up being a revenge game for you guys, but
it, trust me, it will be.
I'm predicting a loss of 35-32. Feel free to roast me next, you know, in 2 weeks if I'm totally wrong.
Oh, but I will.
It just has seemed that, like, it kind of seems like maybe that could be a possible trap game. But like I said, I think I really do think it.
Label on this then?
No. Okay. No.
Okay.
I will not.
Oh, okay.
No, I am actually. Using my trap. Thank you. I am placing the trap game card on the table.
Trap game label.
It's been played.
Wow. Only halfway through the regular season, and
we're both out of trap game cards.
Yeesh. Okay.
Jason, actually, we still have a trap game card for our own teams.
Oh, I didn't realize we were allowed one each. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right.
So. Then moving to the Rose Bowl, Utah loves to play in the Rose Bowl, obviously. Yep. And so I have
UCLA
Utah.
Fans do not.
They can't even get 5,000 people to show up for their freaking home games.
They're running a deal at Costco.
It's crazy.
Yeah, like they've literally cut tickets in half.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah.
So I'm predicting a win for Utah, 38-21. Okay. I'm not using my trap game because it's Notre Dame and they really shouldn't be a trap game. It's a big game.
No.
But I'm going to say that Notre Dame looked pretty good last week.
Oh, they looked great against North Carolina.
I think they've got, you know, they've definitely got talent there, and they seem to have figured some stuff out the last 2 weeks. So yeah. It really could end up being like Oregon, where it took a kick in the butt to really get them motivated and going. So I'm going to say BYU picks up a loss against Notre Dame in Vegas for their second loss. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think we win against Arkansas at home. I really think two losses is probably a pretty good estimation for this BYU team. And I just with the rash of injuries and kind of the momentum of things, I'm going to say BYU loses in Vegas.
Okay. All right.
That's so bold. I'm keeping it even, 35, right?
31, yeah.
Oh, I'm keeping it fair. I didn't just dog on the Utes.
No, it's fair. And it's going to make me seem a little lopsided. But I'll tell you what, I'll talk up BYU at Utah State, because honestly, I think you're not giving your Cougars enough credit. Or perhaps it's more you're giving Utah State too much credit.
I'm giving our defense.
I will be shocked if they score a touchdown. I think you're going to get a near shutout. I think you're going to get 45-3, and I think that 3 is going to come from a garbage time, or maybe just like off a penalty, or you know, it's going to come for something that the offense doesn't actually deserve.
I have a hard time being too like optimistic with the defense, because even though like we win a decent amount of games, right, to these teams that we really should not be giving up a lot of points to, we give up a lot of points to. Like, yes, South Florida scored 21.
I'm not Wyoming even talking about
scored 24.
BYU, I'm more taking away credit from Utah State. This is makes a team sense. That lost to Weber, that last week lost to UNLV.
They're averaging 15 points.
Yeah, exactly.
They're 15 points a game.
Yeah. Utah no, this State's is
averaging.
Utah State is terrible this year. I mean, just plain awful. And like I said, if you don't want to credit, you know, this prediction to props to BYU, I credit it to my absolute, I mean, me believing that Utah State is a joke this year.
Yeah, but it's been embarrassing for them.
So I'm going to predict almost a near shutout. I'm going to go 45-3. With Oregon State, I have this game a lot more low scoring. I think Utah wins this by a touchdown. I'm going to guess 24-17. And the reason, all of my predictions, I've had the Utes scoring at least 30 points. And I think in most games, that's going to happen, because our offense, I believe, is just that good. But in this game, I don't think so. And here's why. Utah and Oregon State are very alike in how they play. They're run heavy. They control the clock. And when you have two teams go up against each other, you're not going to see that high scoring. I mean, USC has been scoring 50 plus points in every game, but all of a sudden Oregon State holds them to 17 points, to under 20 points. And so I think the rule for this game...
I should have had you go first. Now I'm feeling less optimistic about my score prediction for this game.
Yeah, so so when it comes to this one, I think the rule is the first 1-20 wins. I think Utah does it. We're at home, right? This is a revenge game. I don't think there's a single player on this Utah team that doesn't remember going up to Corvallis and just looking like fools at our own game. And I think we'll be looking to make them make them feel exactly the same way. We're going to be, so I don't see this as, it's not a trap game. This is a game we are very well prepared for, and I'm very grateful it's at home. UCLA, I'm not scared of them. I mean, they had a great game against Colorado, but Colorado's possibly the worst Power 5 school in the country. They are currently the worst Power 5 school in the country. So anyone can look at against Colorado. And, I don't know, UCLA, they're not performing as good as they should have. They have
South Alabama. They barely squeaked out a win on the last second field goal, right?
Oh, exactly. So. And it's like, and don't get me wrong, like you can have a shaky start of the season and then get rolling. Utah had something very similar. Frankly, in 2021, we barely squeaked out a win against, Weber State, I don't know. I'm not afraid of them, especially because I actually think there's no home advantage, and I think there's going to be more Utah fans there than UCLA.
Yeah.
So I see us winning by 2 touchdowns. Once again, I have Utah scoring over 30 points. I'm thinking 38-24. I'm thinking we have a field day with them, and I think our defense just absolutely shuts them down. For Notre Dame, I agree with you that Notre Dame is looking much better since their loss to Marshall. And kind of what I stated last episode with Oregon, never doubt a good team with something to prove. And I think Notre Dame is looking at their schedule and they say, oh, hey, BYU, neutral site, this is a great place for us to prove that we're still a grade A team.
Well, yeah. And basically a home game for Notre Dame with how ticket allotment
exactly.
went. BYU will still travel well, but Notre Dame by far has a vast majority of tickets. So.
Oh, exactly. And so, yeah, I think this is a narrow loss. I am predicting. So my official prediction is 28-27 with Notre Dame winning just narrowly. But really, I guess the spirit of my prediction is anywhere from like 1 to 5 points. I think this is going to be a super narrow, decided kind of in the trenches, possibly going down to the last play of the game. I think this is a game that everyone's going to want to be watching when it's on. I think it's going to be a great game. Yeah, that's my prediction.
I will be sad. I really want to beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I really do, just because of how their team and stuff has handled everything. But
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough game. It just is. Them and Arkansas, you really can circle for.
Honestly, this month I know it's the toughest for Utah. October. October is by far the toughest month in Utah's schedule. And by the sounds of it, October's the toughest month in BYU schedule, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, midseason is upon us. Everybody, thank you for listening to State of Sports Utah. Please follow us on all social media.
Drop a question
if you want to. Drop a question on our YouTube page or our Twitter account. You can feel free to do that. If you want to follow Jason and I more closely, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at the Esquire JL,
and I am at Spidey Stowe.
Yep. And
if I have you blocked and you're a Utah fan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually haven't blocked anybody yet on Twitter.
Oh, dude, I have blocked like almost 1,000 accounts. I'm not even kidding you.
Geez. Well,
a lot of that is spam accounts. But
yeah,
I'm on Twitter for BYU, right?
Yeah.
And so if I get too many like troll posts, I'm a little more fast and loose with my block button.
Yeah. Well, and you can also follow our podcast page on Twitter as well at State of Sports Utah. And again, our YouTube page, drop a question. We really like doing them. And as long as we get them, we'll try and incorporate them. So, happy midseason, everybody! And
sad midseason. Halfway through, guys. It's been awesome.
It's been awesome. Go football.
Go football.
Go Utes.
See you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.